It is customary every month for us to pause from our ongoing studies in order to reflect back upon our entry into the royal family of God and how that was accomplished. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He came into human history for the expressed purpose in the Old Testament of being the recipient of all the sins committed in all of human history. Obviously, this includes everyone who has ever lived or will live in the future. He was our substitutionary sacrifice. He was qualified to perform this task because he was born perfect. He had no sin nature. Therefore, only through his own free will could he have committed a sin. We know that he did not, because as he hung on the cross, he was judged for the sins of the human race by God the Father. Therefore, because of this event, those who believe in him and his work on the cross have eternal life. There's nothing we can do to add to what our Lord provided, since he simply was unqualified to resolve the sin nature. Someone else had to do this for us. And so Jesus became our substitute. And in so doing, we have eternal life simply by faith alone in him alone. Now, one of the things that Jesus instructed his disciples to do, and this was on the night before he was betrayed, he was memorialized this event through a ritual. All four of the gospel accounts quote his instructions to the disciples regarding the bread and the cup. In fact, this is the only ritual for the church age, and that ritual involves saluting our Lord's person and his work on the cross. The bread, therefore, is emblematic because it has no leaven, symbolic of the perfection of Christ, undiminished deity, and true humanity in one person forever. And since he is sinless, he is qualified to be our substitute. And the bread reflects this because of the absence of leaven, which is emblematic of inherent sin. Then there is the cup. It is representative of our sins being poured out upon him and judged by God the Father. And once done, Jesus said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." If salvation is the finished work on the cross, then we have no obligation to do anything else other than to simply believe in this. If we do, then we have eternal life. So as we receive these elements today, we will be reminded of this grace process that provides for us our eternal future. Now, before observing this ritual, it is our custom to pause for a few moments of silent prayer. This provides you the opportunity to use that time for confession of our sins to God the Father. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to observe the Eucharist. It is our prayer that as we receive the bread, that we will be reminded of those doctrines pertaining to the person of our Lord, and we'll lift our prayer in his name. Amen. It's our custom to retain this bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his wounds we're now healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way, and God the Father has laid on God the Son the iniquity of us all. And in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is a substitute for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And now, Father, we turn our attention to the cup. We now pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the work of our Lord. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. It's also the custom to retain this cup until all have been served. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. For a good man, one might even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his sacrifice, we shall be delivered from wrath through him. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, quote, "This cup is the New Testament of my substitutionary sacrifice. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Good morning, everyone. Number of things that I want to review for you today since we've been gone for so long. I thought I'd flip through here, see where's a good place to start this review. Find a good place to do this. Not there. And we'll do this. Let's try this. Let's go back to approximately page 430 in document 43, if you have those with you. The few things that I want to reiterate to read us back into our subject. James 5:7 is one of the things that comes up here, and that's the expanded translation of this verse. Let's quote that. We'll note a little bit of a review and then go on in our study. It reads this way, "Therefore have patience." Constative aorist, active imperative mood, number 42. Of the verb makrothumeo, members of the royal family of God, until the coming, that's parousia, the rapture of the church is what's been mentioned there. Now, this is James 5:7, and now we've got the next prophetic event on the calendar being mentioned here by James. It says, members of the royal family of God until the coming of the Lord. Now, this is approximately 45-ish A.D. He knows that the next prophetic event on the calendar is going to be the rapture of the church. That was back at 45 A.D., and this is 2025. Many moons have passed over the mountain. The delay is therefore very important, because for almost two millennia, people have had the opportunity to place their personal faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and for eternal life. So it's all a volitional thing. Almost two millennia have passed so that people can make up their mind about who and what Christ is. He was Homo sapien, but is also undiminished deity in one person forever. It's his humanity that's important to us. We know that he was born without the participation of a human father. We know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit created the zygote for Mary, who ultimately is the one who incubated that zygote, and therefore the birth of Jesus Christ without a sin nature. The sin nature is passed on through the human race, involving all Homo sapiens, passed on by the Father in procreation. So when the baby is born, he's screaming and howling. But the biggest problem that baby has, and everybody holds it and have pictures taken and all of this, but the issue is that parents need to understand is he's a heathen. Because the Father imputed to that zygote a number of things, but including the sin nature. So this is where the wives can berate the husband about being a transmitter of all of this chaos. And they can't deny it because the kid goes around screaming and howling, carrying on and making messes in his pants and things that go on, quite honestly, all the time. And he has to be potty trained and all of that has to go on. But nevertheless, it's a reminder. You brought into this world another heathen. You all started out as heathen. Lost in your sins. You say, well, I haven't committed a sin. Give it about 30 minutes. And the sin nature begins to respond. Now, the baby thinks something's gone wrong because he's hungry or something's not quite right. But nevertheless, there it all is. And the screaming is incessant. And it happens at night while you're trying to sleep several times. And so there's a rocking chair available. Then as the child grows, you need to start instructing him about why you are to do certain things a certain way, and while there are other things that you should refrain from doing. Now, babies are like that, and then the children, the little squirts that run around, and then they grow, and they begin to use their volition to commit sins, which is normal. You don't need to be upset about that. You just know it's coming, because they're very good at this. And as they grow and you instruct them and give them guidance and teach doctrine, and this is the way you're supposed to think about this, and you're supposed to avoid that, and then you get this information going on in their souls. If you are a believer and want to guide the little guy or lady, guide these individuals into making good decisions from a position of absolute truth. And that means Bible study at a very early age. Now, a lot of people do this, these are good parents, because they realize that they have brought into that household a heathen with a sin nature. And he's always going to act up, screaming and wailing and carrying on. It's normal. That's what babies do. And so you comfort them whatever way you can, but as they grow, years passed, then to learn how to take control of the situation. Screaming is one of the things, but then there are other things. Slowly but surely, when you get up in our society, somewhere around 21 years of age, all the neurons of the brain are pretty much locked in. Now, it's not complete by 21. Research has shown that the female brain solidifies somewhere in the early 20s, but the male brain will take till about 26 or 27. That's why they're dangerous people. In the process, you're trying to infuse into their decision-making concepts things that you should do and do so consistently, other things you should not do and should give up doing consistently. And that's why parents have rules and regulations. At least they should. The problem that emerges is some parents are as bad as the children. But then that's another discussion. As we go through this, we're taking a look. We've been introduced now to the rapture of the church. That's your exit visa. How are you liking the zeitgeist right now? I think it's very interesting to me that as we went through James chapter 5, we got down to a spot where James called in as a witness a guy named Elijah. And there was a Jewish monarch, Ahab, and he had a wife, and her name's Jezebel. Now, I would like to ask you a question. We're going to have to review that as we go through our review here. We're going to get around to Elijah and Jezebel and Ahab, of course. He's going to buy the farm. But he becomes a central figure in the context we'll see in chapter 5. He is going to be an illustration of what can happen in the human race over the course of the millennia that follow. A good example of this is what happened about 4 years ago. When a guy somehow became president of this country, we assume it was all legitimate and above board, don't we? And the legitimacy, we assume, allowed him to be president all the way up to the present hour. Now, we have been fearful, we citizens of client nation America, we've been fearful of bad guys around the world. For example, Vladimir Putin. I wonder how that went over in junior high with him. Anyhow, he winds up being the leader of the Socialist Republics of Russia. And so Putin is one of our adversaries. They'd like to take us down. But we have this huge military, well-trained. Then also involving that is the woman. Who's the woman? Did a woman get in charge of all of this? Interesting how the Lord's sense of humor begins to show himself. Let's put a woman in charge. Let her run the show. Be guided by Dufi. And see how that dog hunts. We see that in the latter verses of James chapter 5. It's like, listen to me, says the scripture. There's going to come a day where you're going to have a big problem in every client nation that I allow to reveal itself. In Europe, starting with the SPQR, the Roman Empire, that was the first client nation. It moved gradually westward over Europe, up to the Atlantic Ocean, then jumped across the ocean. I'm going to say the word. To Massachusetts. And that's where they set up shop. And the reason that they wanted to jump over the Atlantic Ocean and set up shop on another continent is because they were fed up with what was going on in Europe. And they'd run out of land. And so here we are now almost, let's see, almost 100 years. We go back to about 1920 is when it all started. 1920-ish is when the dark side began to infuse itself into public education. All on purpose. It all started in Germany. It all started in Germany, and therefore it had its fruition in World War II. And we had to send all of our guys over there to Europe and get killed and wounded. Many survived, but nevertheless, the battle had to be won. And therefore, freedom was retained in client nation America until the dark side intervened. And they started this circa 1920. And the way they did it is they infused themselves in the curricula of public schools. Start them when they're lap babies. Start them when they're first graders. Keep doing it until they're through with high school, and then let them go to a place called academia, graduate school. What happened then? By then, somewhere around the 1960s, everybody was being propagandized into the dark side in academia. Kindergarten to graduate school. You saw them in the streets of this country over the last 4 years. Little darlings taking down the country. Because they had been propagandized by the dark side, the fruition beginning in 1920. Now, if you had good parents and they had doctrine in their souls, they tried to defend these children over a course of an entire century on how to think. And then there was the loss of thought. And the loss of thought enabled the dark side to infuse into the souls of these children within academia dark side philosophies and standards. Thus, they rioted in the streets, the little darlings. And that's where we find ourselves today. We haven't had a Bible class in a good long while. Goes back into early December. It's been about a full month or so. Why do we have to call this off? Because of chaos. And that's where we are right now. So therefore, on the board, what do we have? James 5, 7. And there's a prophecy sitting there that introduces a sequence of events that are going to carry us all the way down to the end of the chapter, which also the end of the book. Let's read it again. This is the expanded translation of the verse. Therefore, have patience. Constantive, aorist, active, imperative mood, number 42 of the verb makrothumeo. That's the word for patience. Do you have it? Members of the royal family of God, until the coming, that's parousia, the coming, that's the rapture of the church of the Lord. That's a phrase having to do with the next prophetic event on the calendar. That's the rapture. That's what James is discussing back in 45 AD. Hadn't happened yet because client nations held force up to the present hour. Observe the capitalist farmer who waits. Customary present middle indicative of the verb ekdekamai. So he's waiting, constantly being patient. That's present active participle of the verb makrothumeo. Being patient until he has received the early and the latter rains. I don't know, I'm looking across the room, I don't know any of you who are farmers now or have been a farmer in the past. Don't know that. But you know about those people that do. You get in the car and ride around in the county, and you look over to the edge, and there are things growing out of the ground. On the other side, you'll see beasts, like cattle, for example. And you can go to Deerberg's and get their meat. And the other part of Deerberg's, you can get the vegetables. Vegetables on the right, meat on the left. And you gather all that up at Deerberg, and you take it home, and Mama fixes it. You have a nice platter to eat. Nice how things played out until somebody decided, we want to completely contort the freedom that has been established here since somewhere around the late 1600s. And now it has come to fruition. And though all of you who are here today have a responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to start making it your goal to start looking for absolutes. Where do you go that is a guaranteed set of absolutes that you can log on to? Now, parents will say, now, little Johnny, you can't cold cock your sister with a lead pipe. That's got to stop. Okay, so you have a big lecture about no brutality. So these things are normal, by the way. The little boys want to run the show, and the little girls, of course, are in the way. So you cold cock them with a lead pipe. That has to stop. You just scold them. But then they grow up, and they're infused into the academia of the day, and they become terrorists. So let's note this. Every day you live, the rapture is getting closer. It's on the prophetic agenda. It just ain't happened yet. What is it that can bring it on faster, so to speak, when the loss of thought hits a client nation to such a degree that the Lord has to do something about it? Let you go your way for a while, but you've got to come back to the truth, start applying the absolutes, and restore order. And if you can't do that, then something has to be done to stop the downward spiral. As the rapture is daily drawing nearer, in concert with Lucifer's ongoing strategy to seize total control of the planet, believers have the leverage to stand fast with doctrine. Know how to think. And how you think has to do with absolutes. What are these absolutes? There are two categories. Absolute A, absolute truth. Absolute B, the cosmic lie. Can you tell the difference? Well, if you're an ignorant child, you don't. Your problem-solving device is screaming and pouting and cold-cocking your sister. And that's why parents have to come in and say, no cold-cocking. No, we've got to stop this. We're going to outlaw lead pipes in this house till you can behave yourself. Now, we're going to have to set up some rules about how you behave. Some things are going to be okay and others won't, and we'll inform you about each. And when you get somewhere in the 20s, you may be safe enough to go out of the house. To amplify this concept, you have to have patience. James continues verse 7 with an illustration that is definitely within the frame of reference for his congregation. Now, the other things that I can say here that we've already studied, but I wanted to introduce you to this because that is going to take us to our study today, which happens on document 44 at page 433. But we've been away for an entire month, so I wanted to get us back in the flow here. So back in the flow, we have a few points I'd like to bring out. let's talk about a thing called the laws of divine establishment. If I can find that. Let's take a look at this. What does this phrase mean, laws of divine establishment? Scripture tells us in Scripture, how should people who come together in a piece of real estate, let's call it client nation America, United States, how is it that order can be therefore infused in the thought processes of the people who gather? Well, there has to be a divine institution of some kind. And then we have that on the left. And then on the right, you have authority from the divine establishment. So on the left and on the right, authority from divine establishment. What are the divine establishment principles? You have to know those. So there are laws indicating individuals as well as the environment. So under divine institutions, you have volition. Each of you has free will. You make your own decisions. Other people may influence you to do this, and you make it up on your own or whatever, but you have free will, and you can make your own personal decision about what you want to execute from your volition. That's called volition. On the other side of the ledger, authority from the divine establishment, that would be the individual. You are a free agent. Next, we have under divine institution, we have marriage. Where does the authority go there? That would be the husband and the family. Now, don't get all bent out of shape here in the 21st century. That's scripture, and that's an absolute. Finally, we have the family. You procreate. You brought a heathen into the household. And that's called marriage, and then the husband, and then they have a family. You have starting with one and going to more. You become parents at that point. You have the obligation to go into the soul of that child, male or female, and instruct them on how to make decisions from their volition, and therefore guide them away from poor decisions over to good decisions, systematically accruing over time until sometime in the early to mid-20s. Then they can go out in public. What about the divine institution of the national entity? Well, the national entity is the United States of America, that teetering but still a client nation. The authority from the divine establishment would be the government. And that's where we are today. You know what right and free exercise is? That's volition. Let's look at Amendment 1 of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Amendment 1 is being discussed today. There are people in power today that don't like Amendment 1. Yet there it sits. Has been from the get-go. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Congress can't make a law about that. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You right here today. You were free to come here, you parked out in the yard, and you came in here, and you're trying to stay awake while I bloviate. Or abridging the freedom of speech. I at least get the chance to say what I got to say to you, and you can take it or leave it. Or the press. There's some pressy things here. Let's take that. It's called a book. And in here, there are two categories of information, okay? Absolutes. Say, how do you say they're absolutes? Because in the first, it says it's Holy Bible. And so in the first of it, what does it say on that first page? Gee, what was it? What was it it said? It's in here somewhere. So that Genesis 1:1, it starts out like that.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it goes on from there. And it fills you in systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. How are you to think? Think this way. Other passage somewhere. Don't think that way. Learn these things. How am I supposed to think? Can I train my mind and therefore capture the concept of my free will and manage that with the information that I know presently? When I was a little baby, I tore things up and cold cocked my sister with a lead pipe. But now I'm trying to get past that. And you get all of that. Then you get in the New Testament. And the same thing throughout is this. A, think this way. B, don't do that. Two categories. Behold, the farmer waits with anticipation. I remember that I decided to go into farming. Do you remember what I raised, Johanna? Yeah, that. You know, food. Yeah, right. I am not a farmer. But a friend of mine, we decided that we were going to raise our own food. That's why I love Deerbergs. There are people who know how to do that. They bring it in the back door of Deerbergs, and she takes it out the front door. Leaving the money behind, of course. Behold, the farmer waits with the expectation. Yeah. The present tense here is known as an iterative present. It describes that which occurs or recurs at successive intervals in an agricultural economy. So when you drive around here, you can go wherever you want to go, looking to the right, looking to the left. What do you see? You have meat on the left, food on the right. You can stop the car, drive up the little road that goes to the guy's house and knock on the door. So I noticed that on the left-hand side over there, you've got these cows. On the right-hand side, you've got these groceries. And I just want to thank you for that. He said, well, I was just trying to make a living. Yeah, but, you know, when I go to Deerberg's, I want something to be in there. The principle in this passage is found in verse 7. The agronomic capitalist waits with confident expectation of a successful harvest from his field crop production. Somebody's got to do the groceries. James 5:7b, behold, the farmer waits, customary present middle indicative of the verb ekdekamai. Farmer waits for what is called in the English the precious fruit of the earth. See, that's earth. See, earth there can be capitalized because it's a planet. Earth is lowercase when it's dirt. You go out in the backyard and you take a hoe and dig into the dirt and throw some seeds in there for whatever you want to grow. Okay, that the earth takes the seed and makes whatever grocery you want. The earth is a planet and therefore it's capitalized. And that's the case here. The precious fruit of the earth, the planet, which begins with the adjective timaeus, which means that of highest value. And this is accusative, therefore requiring the use of the word precious. The word fruit is also in the accusative singular of karpos, and it means in this case, quote, production from whatever was sown from the earth. Whatever was sown. In other words, there's a sequential process of sowing, followed by the harvest and then the profit. And again, the iterative present means he has done this before, he is doing it again this year, and he will do the same thing again next year. He's a farmer. Now, when you ride down the highway, you say, "This, a lot of stuff is going on here to get groceries." And as you ride down and you see over there corn and
whatever the other things you grow. I don't know. It's, you go to deer brush, you go to the vegetable section, and you see the other categories. You see it on the right over there. And over here on the left, you see the animals. They round up those, chop them up into pieces, and put them back in the meat department, and you can go buy that. Food. The principle is the fact that within the soul is the solution to every problem. You are a problem-solving device if you know how to use it, including all the facets or phases of reversionism. When you placed your personal faith in Christ for salvation, it was your soul which was saved, not your body. The soul is the battleground of the Christian way of life for believers. The soul was imputed to the body at physical birth, as is the old sin nature. You came here a heathen with volition, and you have to learn how to manage it. Right of free exercise comes up next. Found in the soul is your volition or free will by which humans make their own personal choices. The most important of these is what they think of Christ and for the believer, whether they will advance spiritually or decline into reversionism. So what does free exercise mean? That's back to the volitional issue. Let's take again Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. The government can't do that. It's in the Constitution, Amendment 1. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We're free exercising right now. We have the privilege to do that, First Amendment, Paragraph 2. Or abridging the freedom of speech. I get to stand here and bloviate. You don't have to accept it. You can leave at the halftime and go away. That's fine. But I get to do that. Or of the press, newspapers, books, electronic contrivances, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, which you're presently doing. Let's note some principles. Freedom of movement facilitates assembly. You drove over here or walked in here. Freedom of assembly permits church attendance. There you are. Freedom of speech allows public exposition of Scripture. I'm doing that now. Finally, freedom of the press ensures the publication and distribution of the Bible and its teachings. And somewhere around here, must be in the next room, we've got all these books around here. If you want to get facilitate your Bible study, we have all these books back in yonder. You can take those. Then what about James 5:7? This is the expanded translation right here introducing what's going on presently in Client Nation America. Let's go through it again in the expanded translation, enlarging it from the original language of Koine Greek. Therefore, have patience. What does it say here? Constative, aorist, active, imperative mood. This is a command. You are commanded to have patience. Members of the royal family of God, that means you're a believer. Until the coming. Parousia, the rapture of the church. That's what's going to happen. It could happen any day now. But it could be another 1,000 years. Who knows? But it's the next prophetic event on the calendar. Until the coming of the Lord. Observe the capitalist farmer who waits. Customary present middle indicative of the verb ekdekamai. Constantly being patient. If you involved in trying to raise groceries and even those animals, you don't know how it's going to play out every year. I don't know what kind of disease cattle can get, but I'm sure there is one that those who own cattle worry about. And then if they stay healthy and you can get them to the meat chopping company, get a little food for the groceries that you can buy on the other side of the road and feed your wife and children,
That's what they're into, staying alive. Constantly being patient until he has received the early and the latter rains. And so these guys, they pace those fields. Margaret, I went out and looked at those areas where we planted all this food. I don't know, we sure do need a good rain. Maybe let's have a prayer meeting and pray for the Father and give us a cloud or two. If you ever decided to get into farming, it can be a lot of pacing. Sometimes you have a good crop and sometimes you don't. So you have to manage this. What if I have an abundance? What am I going to do with the overage? Well, I'm going to put as much as I can away, but then I need to share it with other people because one of these days there's going to be a drought. And you think of other people. It's called free exercise. And there it is right there. Have patience. Found in the soul of our volition, free will, by which humans make their own personal choices, the most important of these is what they think of Jesus Christ and for the believer, whether they will advance spiritually or decline into reversionism. This book took us to a brief study of the earliest doctrine a new believer encounters, and that's the blood of Christ. This doctrine contains an analysis of the person and work of Messiah, which on the cross, during which occurred the imputation of the sins of the human race imputed to him for their judgment by God the Father. Now, did you get that? There's a thing called the doctrine of the blood of Christ. Who is he? What's the blood got to do with it? That's a good study, but we're not going to review it now because you can if you wish, and you may do so. You can go to the doctrine of the blood of Christ. That's JAS 5, document 32, taught on October 22nd of 2023. And that's a powerful doctrine. It's the blood. What does the blood mean? That doctrine will give you all the information you need to know. Okay, once a believer, a process begins with a volitional decision to pursue immutable truth. To make the advance, to realize the harvest over and over, the believer must focus his mind on inculcating and applying the details, principles, and concepts of doctrine which is found in Scripture. Doctrine comes in two categories. Think this way, don't think that way. It's all over the place. And the Scripture, in its original languages, gives you do this, don't do that. And that's why we have Bible study. James 5, 7c, constantly being patient over the land, that's tase geis. Tase geis means the earth. Constantly being patient over the land until it gets the early and latter rains. And that's why the farmer stands at the edge of the field and paces, looking for that cloud. Is it going to be a good year or a bad year? Well, the land here is in the feminine gender. The owner is constantly focusing his emphasis on the land, quote, until it gets the early and the latter rains, which is indicated by the conjunction of time, hias, until. And hias, the latter sets up the analogy again to the rapture or entrance into phase three by death, until he has received. This is the aorist active subjunctive of the verb lambano. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist. He has now received the prophet. The active voice, the subject, produces the action of the verb. He has not yet made his prophet, but the basis by which the prophet will occur. The groceries are growing in the field. The subjunctive mood indicates potentiality of the factors that go into success in business and agriculture, namely until he has received the early rains and he paces looking at the clouds. The Greek word for early rains is poiemus,
which occur in October and December. And this is based on Israel's belief that rain portrays God's grace. We don't earn it or deserve it or work for it. The early rain is singular direct object of Opsimus and falls over Palestine in October. And so this refers to the rains which come in March and April, the early season, and are analogous to Bible doctrine inculcated and retained as gnosis, which is transferred by pistis. Positive volition to the human spirit is epenesis. So what's the early rain? Comparable to the early stages of the Christian life when a believer goes from spiritual infancy to super grace, however long it takes. And this is the stage of planting of the seed and the germination of the seed. Next comes the latter rains, or a period of the maturing of grain prior to the harvest. This is the entrance into the super grace life, and this is the point at which the believer shares God's happiness. Good place to stop, because we'll run out of time. We'll resume our study in the middle of page 434 at about 10 till the hour.